The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to God, now and always. Amen. It's become fashionable at the moment for people who reach a certain age to plan what will happen at their funeral. A friend recently told me she'd noted down not only the hymn she wanted and the music for the entrance and exit of the coffin, but she'd arranged two people to speak, one about her life and one about her work. She'd even arranged for a younger friend to tend her grave. I might add that she's younger than me. I haven't given a thought to my funeral, apart from paying for it when I had a bit of spare money in midlife. My daughters, however, have already found the photo they want to go on the front of the service sheet. We do love to make plans. However, making funeral plans seems very precarious, because we have no idea when and where our death will happen or who will be there. But I suppose it helps us to feel in control of our lives. I don't imagine funeral plans figure high on the list of things to do for refugees, for the homeless, for those who are sick with no one to care for them, and those in great pain. I've been lucky in my life. Only once have I thought I was going to die. I was totally alone in a darkened room and in labour with my first child. Death then seemed a very good idea. It was today's gospel that brought on these thoughts. Jesus had reached the time in his life when he knew he didn't have long to live on earth. Knowing he was going to die a criminal's death, there was little point in planning his funeral. He wanted to do something far more important than that. He wanted to prepare his disciples for what was to come. He started, before the reading we had today, by asking them what people were saying about him. Who did they think he was? They answered that there was some confusion. Jesus behaved like a prophet of old, wandering around with no fixed home, teaching about what God wanted for the world. But he was different from most of the earlier prophets that they read about in their scriptures, in that he showed love and concern for everyone in need. He was very different from the only prophet that many of them had seen and heard, John, known as the Baptizer. John was concerned with people's many sins and washed them in the river as a sign to all that they repented of their sins and would now be clean again. Jesus acknowledged John by being baptized himself, but he didn't seem to think God's message was all about sin. he talked about love. Because if you can see the love of God in all you meet, you won't sin against them. Then came the question, "Whom do you think I am?" And Peter's reply, "You are the Messiah." That should have been a wonderful moment. But having acknowledged it, Jesus then went on to talk not about his funeral plans, but about his plans for his death. In fact, there were no plans, just one plan, to present himself to the Jewish and Roman authorities in such a way that they could no longer ignore him, and their only option was to get rid of him and put him to death. This was a terrible come down from that wonderful moment when Peter had been praised for recognizing Jesus for what he was. But Peter was still basking in the glory, so he had no hesitation in rebuking Jesus. Of course he wouldn't have to suffer the death of a common criminal. He had the power of God and could prevent that happening. The response was horrible. His friend said, "You are a stumbling block to me." For Jesus to speak to Peter like that is surely a sign that Jesus, like all human people, feared the lead up to death. He knew exactly what would happen to his physical body. He would suffer terrible pain. He would be jeered at by those who had once flocked to hear him and were now embarrassed because they thought he had fooled them. Even his friends would abandon him. He needed support for what he was facing, not being told, "Don't be silly, it won't happen to you." What Jesus needed is what we all need in times of despair: someone to listen, to give attention, full attention, not just listening while planning our own response, not just listening while searching in our minds for a parallel example, just listening. It's clear that the disciples were not listening because they missed the bit about rising again in 3 days, but who could blame them for that? Then there was talk about losing life to gain it, by which time many of them must have given up. How were they to understand this man who had swept them up from their everyday life, who seemed to be able to do extraordinary things, who attracted a great following, but was now talking about being put to death? How are we to understand him? It goes against everything the world has taught us, that the successful are those with money and power. Death is something to be feared because it puts an end to power. Jesus was the most powerful man the world had ever known, but he refused to play by the rules. He allowed himself to be put to death and then proved it wasn't the end. He proved that he was in charge even when his earthly life was ending. And we too can be in charge, not by planning our funerals, though that's a useful thing to do for those who have to deal with the end of our life, but by giving ourselves up to God, giving full attention and trust. It's very scary taking charge of our lives by giving them freely to a greater power than all human power, because you never know what God will ask of you. But that's where trust comes in. The closest we can get to describing God is, God is love. Love in all its manifestations. God loves us. We will not be asked to do more than we are able. We must pay attention and trust God.